Recently, I got to introduce my daughter to gambling. And what I mean by that
is, was this Fortnite? I thought this was going.
You shouldn't do that, Jake.
What I mean by that.
She can gamble.
No, see, was she winning? Here's the thing. No, in the mall, in our local mall, they have a claw machine store. And it's one of those, like, you know, penny arcade where you go up and you get coins and you try. And it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. Those claw machine games are so much fun. And I actually won two things, which was cool. There was a Hello Kitty that, of course, I won for Medley because she's eight. And then I got a Cubone plush.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's I was going around. A lot of it was Hello Kitty and like other like Sanrio stuff. But
there's just a random Cubone.
There was a bunch of Pokemon. There was like a giant. I don't want to say life size Gengar, but it was like a 2 foot tall Gengar.
Okay.
That it was one of the ones where like it was hanging on a string and you had to press the button and a razor blade would come out and try to like cut the string, and so you had to like time it just right for like for the blade to like pinch the string just so perfectly.
Was this Annapolis Mall?
Yeah, in the Annapolis Mall. But no, it was fun. Those games are always fun because I don't know if I just have incredible luck or if I just like have like the right angle or something like that, but I win way more than I think people should. things, yeah.
This is actually crazy. Yeah. You and Kelly,
yeah. It's a ton of fun. So when I say gambling, what I mean is, she said, "I'm so close to getting this Hello Kitty," and I'm like, "It's right there." I was like, "Her butt's in the air. All you have to do is just grab it right on top," and she did. And Hello Kitty wobbled, and then fell halfway on. The drop. She was like,
That's claw machines.
And then she said, "Can I have two more coins?" And I said, "That was our last two." She said, "Can you go buy two more?" And I said, "No, because they don't. I can't buy that little."
Dang kids, just made out of frickin' money.
When you first said you introduced her to gambling, I thought you could be like, "Yeah, I took her to the Celadon City Gaming Corner."
I thought the same thing.
Me and my son are about to hit up Celadon because we just beat Lieutenant Surge and we're on our way. So
okay,
ruin my son.
Yeah, we teach Kung Fu.
Well, here's the thing. This is Let's Go Pikachu, so Pikachu just learns everything.
Whoa. Dude, we have Let's Go Eevee.
Oh.
Yes.
You should fight.
So here's the funny thing about that. We were asking Medley, we're like, "All right, it's an Eevee, so what do you want to evolve her into?" And she wanted to do Sylveon. You can't do that in this game because the generation didn't include Sylveon.
It was before that was released,
which is nice. They kept it, you know, kept it to that. But
and fairy type is way too cracked.
Well, that's the thing is that she got the Jigglypuff, she got the Clefairy, she got all the fairy types. And she was like, "I really want Sylveon," and I'm like, "That's a great one." I was like, "That's a really good one." And then we were like, "Oh, but you can't get it in this." I'm like, "Okay, well, let's look at the other stones." So we buy all the other stones, and I'm like, "All right, which one do you want? There's Jolteon and Flareon." Don't do that one. And then there's Vaporeon. And I'm like telling her all of it, you know, my extensive Pokemon knowledge. And then she's like, "All right, I think I want to do Jolteon." I'm like, that's a really good one. Great speed. You know, having a electric type is good. You can't evolve that Eevee.
What?
Oh, it remains forever.
It remains forever.
So let's go Eevee.
Okay. I take issue with that because in Let's Go Pikachu, your rival has the Eevee. And he freaking evolved him into a Jolteon.
That's stupid. But...
So they're not even consistent. They're not even in-universe consistent.
No, like, in-universe, the Let's Go Eevee has less Pokemon because you never see the Eeveelutions.
Yeah, well, you can get another Eevee. And then
You can? Oh, yeah, because you can get another other Pikachu.
But it's the shitty one.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, so
you're never going to get one of the theme like EVs because, like, if you do like the judge feature, like your like super starter is like they're maxed.
Yeah,
like they're
yeah,
the perfect
way.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
So.
So could you evolve? So you can't evolve the Pikachu either, right?
Well, I haven't tried yet. Hmm. I don't know if
Cohen's I would ready assume to not at that.
Or probably not.
Probably not.
Your son will not let you.
Yeah.
Like, I will evolve him.
That being said, though, I think that Hannah tried to take Medley to the slot machines in that game, and I don't think that you can gamble in there.
Really?
I don't think you can. I don't know if she just like needed a permission slip or something like that to do, you know, in game to do
yeah.
it. But
yeah.
it literally might be one of those things that like when. You know, with over the years, they were just like, gambling in games is bad.
These generations are weak.
Yeah. I was about
you
to
need
say,
to know what true loss is.
Yeah, I was about to say what I remember what Pokemon Gold and Silver, because I knew the casino, I think, yeah, on the Kanto region, I think that was like one of the few places you get like a Porygon or something.
Yep.
But
yes,
it was like... It was expensive as hell, too. Like, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was either that or a Dratini. But yeah, I remember it was like, can I play these games? And I just sucked at it. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to buy the coins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you could just buy the coins and then just be like, here, I want this. Like, please. I was like, I always never understood the games besides the slot machine. I think there was like this card matching game, or like it was like primitive poker almost, but you had to match up symbols and all this crap. Always failed at that. So
who was everybody's HM Mule in their Pokemon games?
Bidoof.
Who?
Bidoof.
Yes.
Bidoof. Because it could learn.
That was Gen 3.
It was, yeah, it was Gen 3. That was, it could learn Surf, it could learn Cut.
Strength,
yeah. I think it was just the HM Mule.
Mine was always Krabby and Kingler.
Yeah, those were the ones actually.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he was still really useful because, like, Krabby had, like, insanely high attack, and then, like, everything else kind of sucked for his stats, and all of the HMs you'd teach him were all attack, so they...
Strength
and Cut would still be really good with Krabby. So he'd just be Surf, Strength, Cut, and, like, Rock Smash.
Yeah, Kingler. Fun fact: Kingler is one of my favorite first gen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kingler's fun.
I love Kingler.
Like,
we're from Maryland.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
It is our Pokemon.
I was trying,
and
to...
we eat them too.
True. I mean,
in game, actually, in
the universe, they were like, they eat Krabbies. I mean,
yeah, you know how in like the Let's Go games, you send Pokemon to the professor. You know, 100% every time you send a Krabby,
it disappeared.
Like, lunch.
It didn't transfer correctly. I'm sorry.
Send me another.
I thought he was sending me a Pokemon, but he was just sending me food.
Just empty the Pokeball right into a boiling pot.
Crack it like an egg.
Don't crack it like an egg.
I mean, you got that. In the freaking Tauros. I mean, there's your meat.
What other Pokemon should you canonically eat?
Miltank.
Miltank's dairy cow.
Well, yeah.
So.
I guess.
Tauros.
Pidgey.
Tauros
would Pidgey?
Be tough.
Tastes like chicken.
Pidgey,
I feel like if you eat a Pidgey, you're going to get some disease.
Well, Farfetch'd was another one that they got, like, overhunted, I think they even said. Because it tastes like duck. I mean, it's a duck.
Huh. There are numerous dessert Pokemon.
There's a little
ice cream. Oh my god, I just found something that I'm going to share. I will share this this is a...
Is it like people turning Pokemon into like dishes?
I mean, that's a lot of meat on that claw, though.
Big, meaty
claws.
I love how there's just like a shrimp in there, too.
Yeah.
No, here. Okay, I'm crafting this. This is a new in-universe thing. I'll sell it to Pokemon and make millions. Canonically, every Krabby is in a competition with all of its siblings, and the one that physically comes out on top gets to go into the wild. All the other ones get eaten.
This is the one that you get thrown back.
I mean, yeah. Just look. You could just like crack all his little horns off and just suck the meat right out of him. It's perfect.
Yep.
They're like little meat straws.
Dear God.
Yeah, a lot of these are the crustacean or the fish Like, and there's like a...
There's Bounsweet too. Bounsweet is a Pokemon that is, I think it looks and smells like a berry. That's what it says.
Yep.
And Pokemon mistake it for berries. Okay. Like,
was I the only one that thought that the Team Rocket trying to cut off the Slowpoke tails?
Oh, Slowpoke tail.
Because they'd sell them.
Right. But that was weird.
Yeah.
That was really weird. I was I don't
know. Never mentioned it, but it's an aphrodisiac.
I don't get it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like, oh yeah, you're just... Yeah, because I remember the whole thing. You had to go into the well, you had to stop them. They're like, you're stopping our operation of these Slowpoke tails.
Jesus Christ, this is a kid's show.
Yeah, and they were like, we'll sell you these for $9,800, or Poke Dollars, wherever the hell it was. And we're just like, no.
Japanese businessmen pay thousands per pound.
Well, we have killed many Pokemon to cook up a good episode for you today. Hey. So let's get into it now. I want to fast forward to the next day, because a very important thing will be happening. Mm. It is early in the morning, and what we see is the town is starting to bustle. People are coming in with their catches from the river, and people are starting to work on stuff. It's the morning hustle and bustle, people getting to work and, you know, starting to sell their wares. And what we see is outside of Pasandi Stoneworks, a place that used to be the main place to get stonemasonry done, is it is empty. It is completely empty, it is cleared out, and there's a large sign that just says, Pasandi Stoneworks, store, tools, remaining inventory, everything must go, auction today. And right across from it is a hardy, badass-looking dwarf sitting on a bench, staring at it. You know this dwarf to be Rorsk Axbane. And he's staring at it like a hunter that just shot a deer. like he's going in for the kill on this. Because as you guys know, Rorsk was constantly in competition with the Pasandi Brothers. And it always bothered him because he knew something was up. His quality was great. His work ethic was fantastic. Everything that he did, that he poured into this job, was somehow always underwritten by the Pasandi Brothers. And he had no idea why. And when it finally came out, the Pasandi Bros were using the blessings of Asmodeus in order to steal work, in order to get more customers, in order to get more business or profit or whatever it was. The details are fuzzy there, but he's finally justified in this. Another thing we see. Actually, I have a picture of him. If I can show you guys. Yeah, I don't know if I ever showed you. I showed you a picture of this guy.
Yeah, because that was actually one thing I was kind of curious, how they're using Asmodeus, like, to get more business. But I mean, I guess, yeah, you're like siphoning business from someone else, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, so he's got a long black hair, obviously big dwarven goatee with like the chops that come down. His hair is kind of like poofed up on top. He actually looks like a friend of mine, which is really funny. He will never listen to this, so it's not worth me telling him. But
does he work at the Ren Fair?
No, but he goes there all the time.
Is he a dwarf?
He look if a dwarf was my height, that's what he looks like.
So a tall dwarf. Yeah.
He's a very human-looking dwarf.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really curious. Which friend of yours? Do I know this one?
His name's Joe. Joe Don? You wouldn't have met him. Additionally, what we see is someone that is not usually one for auctions, or mornings for that matter. We see Kezra here.
Yeah.
Bright and early, 7:30 a.m. And he comes walking down the street. Kezra, what did you grab from Dunkies on your way here?
Ooh, what's my Dunkie? What's Kezra's Dunkies order?
If it's not the pistachio, you're incorrect.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pistachio. Yeah, she's got a extra large pistachio iced latte.
Whoa. Goddamn.
With three shots of espresso.
You know what? Yeah, he's got at least a double shot in there. Kezra was drinking.
I was about to say, he's got to counteract that hangover a little bit.
So, double shot of espresso and another shot of whiskey.
So, as Kezra is walking down the street with his extra large pistachio coffee, he walks up to Pisani Bros and sort of looks at it, and Rorsk looks at him and goes, "Morning, Kezra. How are you?"
"Oh yeah, didn't see you there. Good? Good, I'm gonna buy this place."
"What?"
"Yeah."
"Kezra, what the fuck?" And he throws his pipe on the ground and like shoves you.
"I mean, you're
this is by rights mine. Fuck off.
You're welcome to outbid me if you want."
We've been paying him for like months.
Yeah, you can see he's got like a giant chunk of change on his side, and he's like,
"What? No, all of that stuff in there is for me. Okay, they've been taking everything from me. It's about time that I get my due." They're taking it from you, or they just set up their own business?"
"No, no, no. You know what happened.
I don't. You know that they were doing things.
They were doing a lot of shit with devils and Asmodeus or some shit. Okay." "I don't know the details of it. All I know is that no matter how hard me and my men worked, the Pisani Bros still took business from us. And now justice has been served, and it's time for me to reap the benefits."
"Look, I don't give a crap about any of the masonry tools and shit. That's not what I want this for."
"What?"
"Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
This isn't gonna.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm not opening a competitor. I want the building. The land."
You just want the walls?"
"Yeah."
I love how hungry Kezra sounded when he said the little land.
"The land.
I just want the land."
"Yeah, you can have all the stuff. I don't care about that. Maybe
so.
I think I'll keep the tables and whatnot, but all that masonry shit,
no,
I don't need that."
"No, I literally just want the materials and the toolworks. And, okay, fine. We'll work that out, whoever happens to win it. I you know, you're probably loaded from where you're fucking adventuring, but I did take out a few loans in order to get this, so I'm a little loaded right now, too. But, okay. Alright, so if whoever wins it, we'll work it out in the end. But right now, all I want is the materials and the tools, and you just want the building itself."
"I want the building and the land."
"Well, all right. I guess we're in business in more than one way."
"Sure. I mean, I'm not going to be asking you to do anything with this place. You can just take the stuff."
All right. You can hear the bell starting to ring. One thing that you guys notice is that there's a little bit of a bigger crowd here too. It seems that there was a lot of hubbub about this whole place, mm-hmm. and it's drawing quite the number of people. You even see a lot of outsiders. Some of them look like they might have just known who the Pisani Bros were, and are just coming to just try to like scoop up his liquidated assets and stuff like that. You also see a lot of other like townsfolk that are there to try to get like something. You know, maybe not many people will show up, and maybe I can scoop in and try to resell it or something like that. It's an auction, so. You know, the prices are lower than they would be on, the regular stock prices. So, when you pull up, everybody sort of shuffles inside of the town council where the call for heroes was. And you go in, and like I said, you see the whole like crowd of people, and everybody is handed, you know, the one of the little signs that has like your number on it. They pin the sign to your sash, so that way your sign matches your pin and all that kind of stuff. It's all pretty standard. When you go in and you sit down, they give you the rundown of, this is so-and-so, this is what we're doing, you know, the whole story of the Pasandi Bros stuff. They talk about that the Pasandi Bros family is just gone. They came and arrested Quintina Pasandi, and then his family just up and left. So either they were too ashamed of what had happened, or they were just trying to get out before more stuff was found out. And with all the dirty dealings, it makes sense that they would just be like, we should just leave. We should just get out. So the bidding starts at 100 gold pieces. They sort of look around to make sure that everybody agrees with it. Starting off, 100 gold pieces, 100 gold pieces, 101, 101, 102, 105, I have 105 gold, 105 gold pieces, 107, 100, I have 110, 110, 111, 111, do I have 111, 111, 112, 112, 150, 150. And I'm going to give you guys a chance to sort of chime in as it seems to be increasing steadily. It sort of tapers out for a minute, and it seems like some people find a few extra more gold in their coin purse at certain points.
Yeah, Kezra waits for all the rabble to get their bidding over with, and he waits for it to slow down. When there's a little bit of a countdown, and then he's gonna start going in.
Yeah. So it gets to 250. And then 275, and then it seems to start to slow down. All right, to 275, 276, 280. 480. I have 400 over here, 400. Do I have 400? Let's jump it up. 420, 425, 425, 425. And then Roar's Grit raises his hand. 450. 450, 450. And it continues to increase and increase. It gets up to 500 with some other people. Obviously, the crowd is starting to thin with the people that are chiming in and placing their bets. How high up are you going, Kesra?
I can go as high as 7,000.
Okay.
Jeez.
So
I can buy this town.
It eventually gets up to 750. And then Rorsch just goes, 1,000. 1,000. And then you hear a guy in the back go, 1,500. And you turn around and look, and you see a guy who looks well-dressed, wearing black and red robes and stuff like that, but it's a crowd. And then Worse goes, 1,750. And then he goes, 2,500. He's like, what the fuck? He turns around and he looks, and then he points at you and then points at that guy. You have a little bit of a clearer shot. You realize he's wearing the regalia of a Hell Knight.
Oh, shit. Do I recognize him? Is it our pal? What's his name?
It's not a lock.
It's not a lock.
It's not a lock. Go ahead and roll me society, or if you have anything related to that, to see if you might have come across this guy.
No, it's just going to be...
You really don't want to lose this land to some Hell Knight.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
It's
only going to be society. All right, let's see what I got. 19.
So, you wouldn't know of this guy, but I'll say this. He looks high up when it comes to Hell Knight stuff.
What about knowledge religion?
Knowledge religion might work. Do you have knowledge religion? If you no. want, do you have anything that might be relevant?
I was going to interject this earlier, but you know, Garn, he's still kind of free floating, so I think he kind of wanted to go see the auction because he did, you know, did tip Roar Scarf about how they were loaded, and he kind of wanted to see how it was going to play out.
Okay,
because he's like in his mind, like you know, my brother gets it or my new friends get it. That should be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
So I do want to roll maybe knowledge religion on this guy.
Sure. Yeah. So you show up next to Kezra, and people are like, "What the fuck? What the dwarf come from?"
Yeah.
God damn it!
That's no.
put a bell on him.
Got a 26.
26. So you might not know his name, but here's what I'll say. with the applicable lore, you know that he is a Paravikar, which is, like, up there. And you see that he is the symbol of Asmodeus on his chest.
Oh.
And it steadily increases, and at a certain point, it gets to 3,000, and then Rorse just goes, oh, fuck, god damn it. He stomps the ground a little bit and, like, elbows the pew behind him. You can tell he's like he's out, like he's done.
I walk over to Rorsk and I'm like, do you know who that is?
No, looks like a bastard.
Kezra goes 3,200.
Oh, so if we could pause for 3,200, you're sure?
For sure.
It is just you and I. Perhaps we could make some sort of arrangement?
Yeah, guard kind of elbows Kezra. Kezra, look at the symbol. And he points to the symbol as of Asmodeus.
He goes to guard and he's like,
what I want to do with this building, I'm not sure a Hell Knight being involved is a good idea.
I agree, but be careful.
No, fuck that. It's my building.
Well, you see, the reason why I'm asking, and I apologize for the intrusion here, but since it is just between you and I, please just enjoy the friendly debate, no? I am Paravikar Salvatore from the Church of Asmodeus. And you see, since Mr. Quintino Passandi used the blessings of Asmodeus, we feel as though all of his work and liquidated assets would actually come to us. And that is why I am here with an almost, I don't want to say infinite amount of money, but I'm sure that I have a greater coin force than you.
And he holds up a bag that is clearly a bag of holding that you know is just full of money.
You know what's worse is like, again, with a Ampros, if, you know, like, I said, with Garn, he might be there, but he's not interested in buying it or anything like that. But seeing Asmodeus, like, as well, I do have, legal lore.
Okay. All right. The Ambrose wants to stand up and do some legal lore.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's something like he's just like looking between the two of them, like as the price is going up, going, "Holy shit!" Like, all right. But yeah, I mean, but at the same time, it's an auction. I mean, it doesn't matter. I think it's something like he, like. I'm thinking in, yeah, can I just roll legal lore then?
Yeah, sure.
Just because that it sounds like bullshit, but at the same time, it's an auction. So it's like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Whoever is the biggest coin purse wins, so it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a 30.
So what the legal lore here tells you is that, like, you're right, it is an auction. But yeah. What they're using is they clearly talked to a devilish lawyer before this and found out the best way to try to discourage others. And you get keyed into this as he continues. And I'm sorry to say, but there's no guarantee that there's some sort of curse or something that he was not able to take with him when he was apprehended.
Curses can be...
I'm sorry, but no one in this town...
And he sort of chuckles, laughing at the size of the town, and removing a curse would clearly be too much. It's sort of the aura that he's giving off.
Therefore, 3,500, and that is my final offer. I am a very busy man.
You think Benson's at this auction?
If you want to be, I mean...
I mean, I think all of us might have...
For the sport of it.
Yeah, for the sport of it. Yeah. Like, even if you're not in it, I would be like, oh, shit, look at that, you know.
I guess Benson, just seeing what's happening right now, kind of saunters over to Kezra and just leans over and goes, I have deeper pockets than him.
Yeah. Give me a second.
And he tells you all to stay, and he walks over to the dude, okay?
To the pair of Icar?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me show you a picture of him.
That's such a cool... Oh, God. That dude has pockets.
So he has a very high collar. He's got some nice deep red robes.
I like the robes.
He has a very, very nice mustache. Very nicely trimmed hair. Yeah. yeah, probably. so he goes, "Oh, if you wish to speak in person, please just hold on one moment." Everyone's like waiting with bated breath. This is the most money they've ever heard in this town. And so he goes over, and you can see he walks over to two armigers that are with him, two Hell Knight armigers. And he goes, "Now, what sort of arrangement are you thinking? I am more than willing to concede here. This is not really worth my time, but I was given a mission to try to ascertain and absolve Mr. Passandi and his failing business and all liquidated assets, so..." And he sort of hands it off to you to talk.
"So, you just want to look for stuff in the building that might have been his. That's it?"
"Oh, no, I want it all. That was my mission."
All right, I got it. Good question. He, like, looks over his shoulder at you guys, making sure that you're out of earshot.
"Look, how does the Prince of Darkness, whatever, how does he feel about fighting pits? Underground, on the down low, fighting pits. I know he likes contracts, and, you know, once you enter that ring, it's basically a contract. Two step
That's
in,
true.
One
That's
steps true. Out victor, one loses. That's the agreement, right?"
"Well, our lord deals in contracts and agreements, so if somebody makes an agreement to fight for sport, you say, I assume this is where you're going, then..."
"Yeah, I haven't checked in on the legalities of this in the town. That's why I want to keep it down low. But I need a partner. See, I'm not in town very often. I might be gone for months, and I need someone to run this place."
"Oh, no, I could not. This is this town is nothing to me. I'm merely here for the sport of it, you see. But perhaps I could arrange to see if we can have someone come here and watch and run some sort of business. This will take time, of course, I know."
"Because I could keep bidding all day, but we can work something out. I need someone I can trust."
"Understood. Well, I am a very trustworthy man and a man of my word, so I appreciate the offer. I would concede. 3501, as it were."
And he motions for you to make the final bid.
And he does.
And people are just like in awe. They're like, "What the what the shit?"
"I don't think the town is worth that
much." About to say, I was like, hey, Jake, what's the actual worth of that building? Just curious.
that building's worth more than the Shire and everything in it.
Yeah, I'll take 3,500 off of my gold.
35
and one. Yeah. You did have to beat his 3,500. He goes, This is
good. I love a good competition with coin. This is very fun."
Yes. "So, we'll do business before I leave town. How long are you going to be here?"
"Oh, I was leaving this afternoon, but I could have one of my armigers stay here and, perhaps take a letter or... how do you want to do this?"
"You need something signed, man. You need a signed agreement before he leaves.
I need a contract that you'll send somebody who can run this place for me."
"Oh, very well. Perhaps if you're looking to sign something, I could get something together this afternoon. When are you leaving, per se?"
"I'm not leaving immediately, but, you know, my line of work takes me all over."
Understood. "It has been wonderful working. I will send one of these and find soldiers to bring you the contract. You read it over in your own time, and we will come together later.
So he brandishes it, he fixes his cloak and takes out a small pipe and walks out, clearly heading to wherever he can find a place to sit and write up a contract.
What was his name again?
Paravicor Salvatore. Paravicor, which is the, I'll put it in chat.
His title.
Yeah, that's his title, and then Salvatore.
What rank is that in the Hell Knights? Is that like...
It's like super freaking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like super cool.
It's very cool.
Like third from the top, probably.
So, Armiger is where Alok was, yeah. Then the signifier Hell Knight, which is like your official Hell Knight.
Yeah.
Merilictor, Paralictor, and then Paravicar. The Paravicar, the leader of an order signifiers, is equal rank to the master or mistress of Blage and answers only to the order's lictor.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, he's up
like
there.
Second in command. Oh, amongst his peers.
As he said, this was a playtime for him.
It was sport.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, if you need someone to look over a contract, I could do that.
That's true. You have legal lore.
Yes, I have legal.
That's
lore.
True.
But guys,
is that your class?
I don't know if Kizar wants this new guy looking over a contract to run fighting pits underneath the facade of a business.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But he hasn't even met him yet, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kizar.
Benson finds out these plans. He's like, "Please, for the love of God, never let Lionel know those are down there."
Oh man.
The camera follows Salvatore, and he gets like the nicest end possible. He goes up to his room and he summons a fucking devil, and he goes, I want to work on something if you don't mind.
Yes.
Man, don't you hate it when you have to summon those lures from hell?
Literally. Literally, yeah.
I mean...
Every time.
What's actually funny is they're in, like, the categorization of, like, devils. There is a devil that is just, like, a lawyer.
Yeah, the contract devil.
Yeah, the contract devil. And you're just like, that's just a lawyer. That's just a dude.
Yeah.
Dude with horns.
All lawyers are devils except for Gene Goblin.
That's correct, yeah.
Gene Goblin can look over the contract, too. Shit.
Bradbury chill.
There you guys go.
It just takes one look. He's like, guys, you're fucked.
There you guys go. I finally spent my money.
Wow.
Hey, he bought a building, so.
They're called a Phistophilus, by the way. The
yes, yeah. I was just looking at that, yeah.
We'll say, just because it didn't end up mattering at all, Benson's not at the auction house. He's actually writing that letter he was going to send to those people.
Right.
To inquire about Elkwood.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yo, lady, is Elkwood sliding into those DMs?
Tell my brother to write.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Benson, after you weren't going to, like, go to the Old Town Guard, catch up with any friends, were you on your way, or...
I wasn't going to.
I was just curious. Like, you used to work here, so I didn't know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you guys are, this is. I'll give you guys this off air. I was like, if I don't get you guys to that fucking gate in this next episode, I'm gonna kill you.
That's kind of why.
You did also write if we knew the guy that got his dick cut off by Calmont, and then someone did. Someone.
Yeah.
And then
someone say did. It took. You took a lot of time away from my family today, Jake, searching for that reference. Okay, we got to give a little more backstory. So, right. So Jake is like, we got to get you to the gate, and Mark is like, I want to know the backstory about the guy who got his dick stabbed by that one person. Calmont. So, I looked through the annals of the Dragon Punch Squad, found an episode 16, time signature 1 hour, 14 minutes, and like, you know, 10 seconds or whatever. And sure enough, there is a reference to Calmont, the way he escaped
Yep.
Was he stabbed a guy in the dick and ran off?
That's what
I think
happened.
Everybody remembers that. I don't think you needed to.
I forgot. Episode 16, that's a long time ago. We're talking like 6-7 years ago.
I remember
ago.
The important things.
So. I mean, that was.
And then Jake, he's like, if you can tell me the name of this character, then I will provide an update. His name is Herb. So I don't know if Benson was going to check up on her. That's all. I mean...
I had an amazing joke where I tried to lay on hands his penis.
Yeah. it was really funny. It was really funny.
Yeah, like...
Stop the bleeding.
Forgetting comedy gold. Dude, I'm breaking my neck out here.
So, Benson, if you were in town, you do in fact see a guy who... He's sitting there in front of the gate or something like that. A pretty low-key job. And it is Herb. And so he's sitting, so maybe he's still dealing with some kind of injury or something like that. And he like waves you over and he's like, Hey, Benson.
Benson. Herb, how hail are you doing, Herb?
Things got good and then bad, I guess.
Still pissing in two directions?
No. In fact, that's not the issue.
What is it now?
So, I after the whole thing with Calmont getting loose and all that kind of stuff, there was a big collective thing for me to get healed, me to get fixed. It turns out, when you go through certain avenues, they get a genie to help you. So I asked this genie in a private conversation, like, if he could give me it back and just give me a little more.
Oh,
good for you, Herb.
I just thought maybe I'd get a little bit, like, you know, an extra inch or two.
Okay? All right, Herb, we have to talk about this. Is it making it some point? What happened?
Then he stands up.
Listen, not only do I have 3 factory makers. Not only do I have 3 factories, I can't even get it up without passing out, man.
Oh, there we go.
Too much blood.
There we go.
I mean, you supposedly got 3 wishes. What happened to the other 2? It's like a counterweight. It starts pulling down.
Come on, my God. I mean, this dude, Herb, just got this giant slung down his one arm, one pant leg.
Also,
I don't know how he walks.
Also, 3 testicles
and 3 balls.
3 balls.
Start a legend, a 3-balled man.
Have you ever seen Total Recall? It's like that, except not.
But he's like, so you know, I'm alive.
Life is interesting.
It was not the update I expected.
You know, I'm afraid you're going to wake up with morning one day and just never wake up.
Oh my God.
That's actually an epic way to die, but still.
He died because he got hard in the morning. Oh boy. You know, here I was thinking, I was like, pony up money. Get a cleric to restoration. You know, something like that. Nope, genie. Boom.
Genie. Yeah, out of all the available options, genie.
He's like contracts there.
Who even had found the genie? Okay.
Some sick fuck that runs a charity organization, but it just fucks with you. My life is never gonna be better.
All right, we're gonna do something.
Herb's like, his name was Salvatore.
Is that helmet?
I'm gonna take a huge piece of parchment, just nail it to town square. If any found genies, report them to the fucking adventurers at Breach Hill before making any fucking wishes.
And then just a crude drawing.
Have you ever heard of the monkey's paw? That's how it always works.
Just a crude drawing of Herb and his giant slong.
In some ways, he's a winner, but he's also a loser.
Mm-hmm. They are making fun of me. All right.
Kesra actually wants to define Benson. Since Benson's not there.
Okay, well.
Alright.
If I'm fine, I'm talking to a guy with a huge one.
Holy shit.
It's a very strange turn of events, Kezra.
It's like, my eyes are up here. Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, I know, but...
I'm not even hiding at this point, dude. What the fuck?
Are you done with this guy, Benson?
This god among men.
This god among men.
Yeah, yeah. See you around, Herb.
See you, Benson.
What's up, Kezra?
Yeah, it was, I was up reading those, notes that we got from Aslan. At one point, the notes mention that she wanted to attack Breach Hill through the gate. But she was held back because it would alert their benefactor. What do you think that means? Do you think that means someone in the town works with them? That's what I think.
That's entirely possible. So she didn't want to attack Breach Hill because it would alert their benefactor.
Yeah, well, Aslan wanted to attack Breach Hill. It was this other person in the Five Kings Mountains. Isra, I think.
Ilsra. I-L-S-S-R-A-H.
She was trying to convince Ilsra to attack through the gate and take the Citadel. But they said they wouldn't do it because it would alert the benefactor.
There might be a chance that whoever their benefactor is knows when the Elf Gate is activated.
It could also mean that they're here.
If they activated in from... Could be. I mean, we're still looking for a famous wizard with a questionable intention. He points at the statue of Layman Breachton.
Yeah. Something to think about. Maybe something to gather some info on if we have time.
I'll do what I can. How'd the buying of that property go?
Oh, great. I won. Can't wait to get to work.
What'd you end up paying?
Oh, 3,501.
Jesus Christ.
Who is that?
I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm making
about,
him up for this joke.
It was a lot of money.
Who in this town has that much money to even bid against?
It was some snooty Hell Knight.
Hell Knights.
Yeah, he had it.
There are Hell Knights in Breach Hill?
No, well, it was some guy high up in their organization. He had a couple of armagers with him. He wanted the place because
it
of...
didn't concern...
Well, he wanted the place because Basandi Bros were worshippers of Asmodeus. He wanted to acquire any of his estate that was, you know, meaningful to Asmodeus, whatever.
Wait, what branch or sect were they?
I don't think Kezra knew.
Yeah.
Well,
if you wanted to describe the symbol that they had, I can have you roll religion, John. I might even be able to tell you who that guy is.
Well, I mean, I'm from Cheliax, so
yeah. I mean, Kezra got his title as the Paravica.
The Paravica.
So he has a name.
Right.
Yeah, Paravica Salvatore. So Benson that, might be
yeah,
to
so
roll
I can just tell him his name.
That's true. So yeah, roll religion, or if you have do you have like a
do you have any lores? Because like for example, I have Lord Taldor. Do you have like Lord Cheliax?
I have religion, a society. I can't find where my knowledges would be at the moment. I don't think I specifically have the one for Cheliax, so.
Oh, it's fine. So what I was gonna see is where are you? There you are.
Oh, we're level 12, aren't we?
Yeah.
Ah, I picked my stuff, but I forgot to change my level.
Oh, that's
sick.
Funny.
You're like, I'm still level
so
six.
Much stronger.
So it looks like it didn't add the lore skill. I'm pretty sure with Paladin, I think that you get warfare. Like, I'm pretty sure
Benson had
what is
warfare.
Your background?
Yeah, so
warfare makes sense for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, warfare would make sense because I'm pretty sure you went town guard or something. Yeah, guard. Yeah, so warfare or legal. Go ahead and roll religion because that's going to be higher anyway.
Yeah.
So, roll religion, and then, you know, I'll let you know.
31.
That is enough to know. So, I'll give you two details here. He is from the Paravikar Salvatore, is from the Order of the Scourge. With anonymity and no consequences, every man becomes a criminal. The Order of the Scourge combats lawless tendencies with immortal hearts through ever-present watchfulness and brutal reminders that no crime goes unpunished. The Order employs a vast network of informants, pays bounties, and substantiated accusations, and publicly metes out grim punishments. They're from Igorian, actually. Which is why Adalar might have known this guy. The Hell Knights frequently travel from Citadel Domain near Igorian to patrol crime-ridden slums and annihilate criminal organizations. As you think back, thinking of your time in the Crusades or the World Wound, or even in your work of like rooting out like criminal organizations and stuff like that, you know that this guy's last name is Passandi.
His
last name is Passandi.
So Salvador Passandi.
Yes.
Oh my.
Paravikar.
Oh my god. Holy shit.
Salvador Passandi.
Into some shit that he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh my god. Yeah, you did. You fucked with
the other thing I'm not sure you remember. A Hell Knight that worships a devil is very fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lawful evil to the max.
Yes, yeah.
Hell Knight's whole thing is killing devils.
So fighting. Well, they use devils in order because they're lawful, right? Because the Hell Knights are super lawful, and so are devils. So they fight demons all the time. Now, one of the things though is that like they will use devils in order to like help themselves train. They actually like. They actually looked to devils for like certain, for like being a lawyer. They're like, what's the most fucked up way that I can win this fight? Like that's how they looked at devils. But this guy being so high up and also having the name Passandi, you're not too sure what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will point that out to Kesra. Passandi.
Come again.
The guy's name was Passandi. This Hell Knight's last name was Passandi. The name of the guy that we got out of that fucking building.
So, would you say it's a bad idea to go into business with him?
Kesra.
I'm just asking, hypothetically.
No, the fact that you're asking is the worrying part. Yes, it would be very fucking bad.
Look, this guy was running up. He was running up the price. He offered a parlay, and you know.
My family is wildly wealthy.
I haven't signed any contracts yet. Maybe I could just tell him I found another partner. What is
He wants to make a contract with you.
Yeah, well, I can. Like I said, I haven't signed anything. I could.
That's a worse idea than going to business with him.
that's arguably way worse.
Ask your sister if she wants to run the place.
What? What place are you talking about?
It's not important. A tavern, maybe some affordable housing. Underground fighting pit.
Tavern, affordable housing.
Those are three wildly. Wildly different things.
Well, I need a cover.
Look, they're not exclusive. They're not exclusive to each other.
Gosh. All right, we've got some major talking to do with people, but let's go. Let's go. Okay.
Oh god.
We leave. I'm trying to get Jake to the fucking portal.
Thanks. Let's go back. This way. Let's go back to the Citadel. Throughout the day, like I said, that happened in the morning. So, back at the Citadel, Ambrose, what are you doing in the Citadel while they're sort of in town. I know you were in town at 1.2, but like.
Oh, I think he would have stayed in town for okay. a point. Again, it's just like leaving Benson to do his own thing. It wasn't just trying to tag along all the time.
Yeah.
He wanted to see, of course, the auction, because that's always fun to see that much money being thrown around.
Yeah.
There was like a small little. It's not really a cafe, but it probably stayed at the Cadence Keg for a moment. Got like a brunch thing. Like, he's just having a fun little time. He's like, oh, how quaint. But yeah, no, he eventually goes back to the Citadel now that's daytime. Just kind of like a looks over things. You know, like, he doesn't know what exactly went on with all that stuff. But
yeah, so at a certain point, you. It's like noon or so, and at this time, you see a herd of goblins go running out, screaming lunch, 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 and then you see a group of kobolds run out the other direction, screaming the same thing.
Oh, jeez. It's kind of adorable, stay out of their way.
There are two troops of. Small people,
small folk,
living in the Citadel.
I like to think they have their own little walkways through like the walls.
Yeah, yeah. Like the kobolds just like kept carving stuff, and the goblins are like, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Doors for us." And they're like, "Cool." now the Longshanks can't get in here.
Yeah, now that well, actually, because he wouldn't know anything about Hazel and all that stuff, but now they. You know, she's in charge. But, who knows what the hell she's doing?
So, it's like I said, it's about noon, and you see Lionel. She's like walking through the hall. She's like rubbing the sleep out of her eyes, and she like sees you, and she's just like, "Oh, Ambrose, right?" Yeah. Kind of like trying to look through the light that's coming through the window.
Oh yes, that is my name, and you must be Lionel.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry about earlier when you came looking for Benson. He wasn't here. I was following protocol. You know, Benson's not here. He's in charge of the place. Don't listen to Kezzer. He's actually not. I figured Benson's not here. Nobody should be here. So I just kind of shoved you out. You know, it's just sort of. Playing tough and trying to make sure nobody sneaks their way in here, but I didn't know you were a friend of Benson's.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. And he just kind of like, he gives a wide smile. He goes, no, it makes perfect sense. I mean, this is a castle, basically. So, of course, you would try to keep any unknown strangers out.
But, and I mean, honestly, it's the only thing I have to do during the day when I'm not wrangling those two. You hear Pippin's arf in the background, like,
"No, Hazel gave it to me!" Some kind of power dynamic happened ever since they came back.
Before Pippin's arf were in charge, they tried to give me orders, and I just, you know, told them to get bent. And then now Hazel's in charge. I don't know what's going on there, but...
Oh, clearly. I have no idea either. I just got here, so... But yes, power dynamics sounds exactly how you said it. And he just kind of, like, looks around still. He goes, so, tell me exactly what's going on in here. I just got around into Breach Hill, and I was looking for Benson. I was just told to come here. Everyone's like, up there! Up the Citadel Therene, or Castle Kezra, as it's called now.
Yeah, the deed doesn't say that, by the way.
Oh, I figured. I could always take a look and see.
Yeah, so she shows you around, and all the rooms that have been changed and all the things that have been fixed up from Borsk and his contractors and stuff that he's got here. It looks clean. It looks not like new, but I mean the really new, nice fresh coat of paint on here. And then she walks down, and then she goes, "We are not to go down there." And she points at the stairway that you, Mark, would know leads to the gates.
Oh, so not even you?
So, no. I figure I figure it was his bedroom, but he sleeps up here, but...
I mean, one had to take a look.
I mean, she looks back and forth.
Ah, come on. It's not to harm.
But if Benson gets mad, I'll just punch him. And then she walks down.
Yeah, he follows.
So you two, Lionel and Ambrose, walk down, and you both see the six gates, one of them broken, looking all around, and you can see just, like, it... She has no idea what to interpret as this. She's just like, they just made arches down here? Like, she has no idea that what these things could be.
I mean, would that be something... I mean, from a... Just a glance, like, because I have, you know, Arcana, Occult, stuff like that.
Yeah, you could do Arcana. You could do... I would say Arcana, or even Religion, because these are old elven gods. Mm. So you could even do Religion as well.
Arcana's better, though.
Okay.
Yeah. 26.
Yeah, so the way that these look like they were done in the style of this legendary Iodara.
Mm.
So you've heard, like, legends of these things, and you're like, why would they make gates, elven gates down here?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they're Hell Knights, it seems completely out of place. Now, I don't know if Ambrose would know that they're magic, because... By first glance, they just look like arches.
Yeah,
they just look like stone arches made to decorate the place. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, somebody has a gate key, or somebody actually, you know, like uses it to detect magic or something like that.
Right.
So I mean, if he comes down here and he doesn't have any sort of like way to interact with it, then yeah, they just look like decorative arches. Mm-hmm. But they seem extremely out of place with all of the elven iconography and all the elven deities. And then the fact that they're just down here under Hell Knight Hill.
Yeah. I mean, I would say he probably could figure out... I don't know if this is like an odd lore to use, but genealogy? Like...
Okay. I don't... Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking...
Can't fit that one in, but... Yeah.
I mean, I was just...
I feel like why you guys are like kind of contemplating this, like... We probably kind of get on back.
Oh, I thought you were like, Garn was just popping up. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So like, Garn just kind of peeks his head down there like, oh, I see you found the gates. And then he looks back at like Kezra and Benson like, wait, where are we talking about the gates? I couldn't remember the protocol.
Kezra's like, who's this guy?
Benson's just like palm the forehead.
Oh, yes. Who are you? I'm Garn.
And so you're up. You're upstairs. Still.
Yeah, I'm like peeking my head down.
Oh,
maybe I'm making my way.
Ambrose, this is Garn and Kezra, my partners. Lionel, why are you down there?
I will interject. Sorry.
No. You told me I was going to come down here, but you had cool stuff.
Okay. Please don't come down here in the future.
So we don't tell about the magically transporting gates.
What?
Benson just starts banging his head against the wall.
Oh, I did it again.
But at this point, Ambrose does step up to introduce himself. He goes,
hello, I'm Ambrose Goenves. At your service. I'm an old... a friend of Benson, actually.
Oh,
as we met when we were younger.
Yeah. I see. So you're not in the arms business, then?
No, not exactly.
Well, I guess with arms like those, probably not.
Damn.
Oh, everyone just keeps
going after it. It's funny coming from you with your weird shaped body.
We've been through this. Those are war injuries and bone fragments floating around in my body.
I feel like you need someone to take a look at that, but...
I'd say I'd seen a doctor, but I'm the doctor.
So Kezra walked down, he walks past Ambrose, and he goes,
well, don't get too excited about these things. We lost all the damn keys.
All the keys? Oh, I meant to ask. Congratulations, I've heard that you bought the
a stoneworking place.
Kezra like starts to sweat a little bit. He's like, yeah.
Benson's eyes
looks
just
at,
twitching.
Looks at Benson. He's like, shit.
This is a bad day for Benson.
Anyway.
Actively squeezing a stress ball way too hard.
Anyway, we only have one key now, the one we got from where we were.
Oh, so we are talking about the gates.
Well,
all
you
right.
already started talking about it.
We're talking about it because
Kezra actually takes out the eye of the
I learned it by listening to
and
you.
He walks. He continues to walk over to the next gate, and he tries to open it.
Okay. Right. So this is called the Jewel Gate. If any of you know Elvish, you would be able to read it somewhere on there.
So book four, Into the Jewel Gate. That's my guess.
Into the Jewel Gate. I'll say this. John and I were talking on the phone, and this is my favorite book.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the coolest fucking book I have probably ever read out of like any adventure. So I'm excited. Yeah.
Because I just want to kind of like say it's just like Amber is just like, wait. So you tell me there was multiple keys, and where did they go before? I'm just curious because I see these architectures and they're very nice, but
our friend stole them.
I don't see any magic.
He had them all. We were on our way back, and he didn't come through and he closed the gate. So now we've just got this one. The other two.
That's rather unfortunate. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, apologies to hear that. But, so. That eye. So that's a key.
Are you just holding up? Is that how this works?
I don't remember. Do you just hold it up to the gate?
Is that something?
Nope.
Yeah, like is
no. It's lit. No, the first one was broken, and that's why I had to do that.
I keep forgetting the first one was fucked up.
Yeah, but no. So with the other ones, you just go up and you just like you kind of like wave it in front of the gate, and then you see it light up as you do that. So you hold up the Eye of the Wise. To this Ayadara. It is decorated with images of crystals, and its upper arch bears designs like those of stalactites. Icons sacred to Ural adorn the Ayadara. Does anybody know who Ural is?
Nope.
I've been around a long time, and I have a good bonus to religion, so I can roll.
Make it. Go ahead and make a
Come
religion.
Come on, darn. There we go. That is a 34.
Okay. Ural. Easy. So Ural is one of the older elven gods that's not really worshipped anymore. But what they do is, so some of their edicts are practice herbalism, use and enchant gems, encourage and teach magician and jewelers. So a lot of stuff to do with like gems and magic. Let me see if it is in the Gods and Magic book.
Yeah, I was actually just about to pull it up.
I was gonna say, yeah. If you can pull it up before me, you are more than welcome to read about Ural.
Yeah.
I think at that time too, he's just looking at each arch.
Okay, so Ural is the goddess of gems, craft, and magic.
That's cool.
They're known as the Wise, so the Eye of the Wise is why. Domains relating to creation, earth, knowledge, magic. Mark, do you remember if this is the one that likes uncut gems? Like, they don't... Is that the same one?
That they prefer uncut? Or...
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if that's the same one.
I don't recall that at all, but...
Yeah, I don't remember if that's the same one, but, But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to do with gems and magic and crafting. Jewelry as well.
How do you spell their name?
Yeah.
Ural. Y-U-E-L-R-A-L.
Yeah, I would not spell that at all correctly.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, you?
I know, yeah. It's darn elves. Can't spell anything right.
God, they keep adding accents on everything. It's like reading Gaelic. All right.
Yeah, actually.
Never cut their crystals. They don't like them cut. They prefer natural beauty.
Yes, So you would know that because they're so distant. That's one of the things about them, is that they have this like love for natural beauty in crystals. So any crystal, how diamond rings and diamond amulets or gems, they don't like that. They think that they should just be left as is, however they came out of the ground.
That's cool.
They're really neat. Like I said, they're so distant that not many people really know of them.
They sound like freaking hippies.
Hey, Mickey's got these crystals, man. You gotta line your chakras.
That's not an organic crystal.
That's true.
They're
polished or something.
But it opens. Huh. It opens just fine. You can see the gate glows now. The gems that are embossed in the design seem to glow with different a rainbow of colors. And the gate swirls before you.
Benson looks to Lionel and says, "Go back up there and guard that door." He looks at Ambrose. Sorry.
She looks at you and just goes, "What? No, I want to go through."
"I need somebody here who I can trust." You really think Hazel's going to defend this place if something happens? Ambrose, you want to go get some Scarlet Triad?
Oh, me? I mean, of course, but... sure. Where's this leading?
Tell you when we get to the other side. And Benson goes through.
All right. Who follows?
Well, I'm not being the last. And Garden jumps through.
All right.
Okay. Well, I suppose before you, I don't know how this system works. he just walks through as well before Kezra.
Kezra.
Okay.
Real quick, pulls out like a piece of quartz, like a semi-precious gemstone, like he has love since we found lying around, whatever. Okay. And he holds the Eye of the Wise up to it and enchants magic with it, and now
okay,
he gives it to Lionel. He goes,
"Hey, this thing will allow us to communicate over any distance. Hold on to this so we can keep tabs on the town."
She looks at it and she like tests it, like
testing one, two.
Loud and clear, over.
Got it, over.
Don't worry, I won't let your annoying brother talk to you.
I appreciate you, Kisser.
And he just gives a nod and he goes through. You.
All right.
Good call, Kelly. I totally forgot
about
that.
Yeah, I forgot that's
I completely
what it did.
Forgot I could do that.
I will give you a hero point, because that is a good idea.
Yeah.
And then I will move you all into the Jewel Gateway Station.
Yes!
I'm just thinking that one guy... That one guy is like, with the contract. He's like, "I have the contract, right?"
It's gone.
Wait, what? All right.
Kezra has made sure to get the deed before he left.
Yeah, right?
I was about to say, really. Clean up everything. Get the fuck out.
As promised, dear listener, we did buy some potions. We have 4 moderate healing potions and 10 lesser elixirs of life.
Mm-hmm. Also, are we getting fresh hero points for new arc?
Yeah.
Yes. For this chapter, you're also getting the chapter appropriate hero points. All right, can you guys see the room you're in?
I see darkness.
I see darkness
about
my old friend.
Envisioning me. All that I see.
Dang it.
All I see. I have
hold on.
Dark vision, just in case.
Okay, hold on. Now let me do global illumination.
Oh, you can sell this.
So, magnificent colorful crystals grow out of one wall from this 15-foot-high musty stone chamber, fanning out from a stone archway and filling the room with a kaleidoscopic light. This archway is studded with gems and decorated with carvings of panthers. Along one wall, a row of bookcases and a wooden desk remain in prime condition, oblivious to the weight of years. A long dead skeleton sits slumped in a chair at the desk. The soft sound of muffled sobbing and wailing wafts through the air. However, you can see where this wailing seems to be coming from, as there is a ghostly figure. It looks like that.
Oh dear.
So this clearly a ghost of an elf. Okay, long thin ears. Okay, she has purple vestments on. She has the sort of like smoky color coming off of her. And what you see is she is over at the crystals, and she's taking notes in like a ghostly notebook, right? And then you can stand there for a minute and watch this as I explain it. But what she does is she's taking notes in this notebook, and then she goes, no, wait, I wrote something about this. And then she walks over to the bookcase, and she goes looking through all the books and looking at the titles of each of them. She goes, No. I drew it. And then she goes over to the desk where there's a bunch of drawings of all these different crystal types and all these schematics of like different dimensions and stuff like that of these different crystals and gems. She goes, "Oh, what? I was looking at something. Oh, yes." And she walks her and floats her way back over to the crystals that she was just looking at a minute ago and starts to take notes, and she goes, "No, I wrote notes about this." And she goes over to the bookcase and starts looking at books and acting like she reaches her hand out to grab one, and she goes, no, I wrote this down on a map." And then she goes over to the desk again, and you can sit here for 5 minutes, and it looks like she's doing this ad nauseum.
Oh, she's stuck
Benson
on repeat.
Benson slowly pulls out the undead sword that Kezra just gave her.
Nice.
Just in case. I'm not saying we open with violence, but
Kezra will pipe up.
"Hey."
She turns towards you.
"Oh, hello. I don't often get visitors. Why are you here? It has been some time. Oh, if you want to see something, over here."
And she floats her way over to the crystals.
I was studying these, and I wrote notes here,
and she floats her way over to the bookcase. So she's like talking to you now, but she still seems stuck.
Hmm. All right, Kezra.
Could I roll like a religion check to see if I've seen this happen with ghastly figures being stuck in a loop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and roll religion.
I will do so as well.
Ugh. You know, I'm going to use a hero point, because I think this is important, and I get a nat 1.
Well,
so.
I got a natural
20.
Well, there we go.
Save that hero point.
I'm not using that hero point.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I saw this in a movie once, a moving picture, if you will. They just have to learn a lesson about life, and they'll be freed from this prison.
Gun, we gotta talk about your incessant madness. Nobody in this world has heard of a movie.
He's speaking witchcraft. Burn him.
Kill him.
Well, I thought witchcraft was widely accepted in this world.
Depends what. Not even close.
I've seen it all before. There's mirrors in the ring.
I think there was I See Dead People, but...
Okay, so with the natural 20, you recognize her to be a ghost. Ghosts themselves can be sort of stuck in this thing where, like, if they haven't moved on, then they can't gain new knowledge, right? They can't progress or anything like that. And that's sort of is seemingly happening now, where she's trying to write notes, she's trying to remember something, she's trying to recall anything about what she's even looking at, and she just, like, she like almost get it. And then she's like, "No, wait, this reminds me of something else." And then she goes over, and it's like she's trying to like get to somewhere in her mind, but she just can't do it. She doesn't seem dangerous. She's talked to you guys. In fact, she was happy to have visitors almost. She was excited to talk about the thing that she's been studying for, air quotes, studying for who knows how long.
Huh. Is there a check, like, from how she's dressed? Like, is she just, like, a scholar or something, or...?
Okay. And nice elven robes. There's nothing too significant about them. Because she's a ghost, they're, you know, made to look like how she dressed in life. So she dressed nicely. So, you know, a scholarly or maybe just some kind of researcher and where, or something.
And
like
where's
that.
She at?
Oh, let me put her in the room for
Kendra's
you.
Kendra's gonna go check she out is. The whatever crystal she keeps looking at.
Okay. Oh, let me say this too. You see the? Remember, I said that there was a skeleton in mm-hmm. a chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's her.
It is very clearly an elvish skeleton. Mm-hmm.
That's what I figured.
So she died in this okay. room, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I think at that point, like Ambrose is also going to pipe up and goes, "Oh, hello, my dear. Curious, where is this place exactly?"
Oh, this place. This is I believe it's a dimension of Ural. It's sort of his own Ural's own realm.
And she goes over to the bookshelf like she has something to show you, and then she starts like looking at books, and then she gets caught up in the routine again.
Yeah, I think I want to look at the books, see if there's anything that sticks out. So Kezra's looking at gems. I'll look at the books.
So give me one second.
Yeah, like, just start, like, distracting her and be like, hey, so what's your name? You know. How long have you been here?
Okay. Kezra, you walked up to the crystals themselves.
Damn Skippy.
Okay. As you walked up to the crystals, that sound started to like resonate from them, and gems do carry sound,
yeah,
like even in real life, right? And so you sort of started to like hear this tone as you get closer to it, and you're like, oh wow, yeah, there's like something here, like they're resonating with some kind of magic. And as you start to get closer and closer, you see these ghostly faces inside of these crystals. And then all of you at once hear this wail. And I want to shift away from Ural's domain. We zoom out. So we move away from Ural's pocket dimension, the Jewel Gate way station. And we go next door. And we see Elkwood standing there on the other side of the gate. As the portal winked out of existence, only Elkwood remained in the chamber. His hand still gripped the eclipse, the star knife forged by Desna, a key that could reopen the path to Breachill. Regret settled in his chest like a stone. Perhaps it was the way they would see this, as a betrayal. If there was only one thing he had constantly failed at, it was speaking his heart aloud. So he drew the blade away from the portal. The silence that followed was absolute. The way station that had carried him to the Silver City now stood around him, heavy with memory. He could not return, not yet. And truthfully, he did not want to. Here in this quiet aftermath, he found something he had scarcely known, peace. Even after the horrors of the quarry and the loss of Grimshaw, this place had become a haven, happiness. Real and unexpected had crept in. His steps were soft, yet they echoed through the chamber. He passed the tree once cursed by hags, letting his finger drift across its weathered stone base. The artifact once held there was gone. Kezra would make good use of it, he had no doubt. He thought of Garn, unyielding strength given purpose, and of Benson, a knight of uncompromising conviction. His lips tightened. Would Benson see this as a betrayal? Would he be marked as an enemy? Perhaps. But perhaps in time, there would be understanding. Elkwood had traveled far, aged in ways both physical and spiritual, and yet he remained stunted in the simplest of things, like voicing truth. To calm his thoughts, he cleaned. The spot where they fought the nightmare was soon reassembled to the best of his ability with the skills he had accrued. It was not much, but it was a beginning. When the weight lifted, something else stirred in its place. Clarity, and with it, Milari. In her presence, he came to realize how little he had known of true companionship. She was the balm to the aching hollowness left by the false comforts his former master once fed him. But his thoughts could not linger on her alone. What of Garuk? Would he be sent to hunt Elkwood down? His instincts whispered not yet. Garuk had his hands full, likely carving a new path for their old master, one cloaked in secrecy. Elkwood remembered a moment between them now, over drinks after a brutal capture. Garuk had asked him, "What do you want in life?"
I don't know, he answers.
Elkwood's answer had been honest, if unsteady. And Garuk had not laughed. For once, his face showed no amusement, only something like pity. He had spared Elkwood once and trained him. If they met again, it would end in blood, but not without understanding. And the professor? The strange old dwarf, brimming with forgotten lore and genuine patience. Even knowing Elkwood struggled with magic, he had tried to teach him anyway. And Elkwood knew, without question, that the professor would abandon Master Grimm the moment freedom called. It had been his fumbled spell, after all, that put Elkwood to where he was. That left Amiri, the hobgoblin lieutenant, sister of Mr. Grimm. Their paths had barely crossed, but Elkwood sensed the truth. She followed her brother not out of loyalty, but fear. But Elkwood knew that if you remove the head, the body would fall. Master Grimm, however, was no ordinary tyrant. He was clever and dangerous when cornered. It would end with him. It had to. Next, Elkwood made his way out the other side of the portal. Elkwood stood at the cliff's edge, staring into the endless blue of the ocean. Vemir circled above. When he heard Elkwood whistle, he dove down. Elkwood grasped the vulture's talons and was lifted into the sky. The ocean shimmered far beneath him, and for a fleeting moment he smiled. Vemir descended once again, and Elkwood landed gracefully, his boots kissing the earth. He was not startled when a voice called behind him. He had already sensed her presence. "Are you ready, Elk?" Milari stepped into the open, her voice quiet but sure.
"I believe so,"
he said. His eyes drifted back to the cliff face, where once a rope had dangled, now severed.
"I want to believe this is the right choice. Like I was meant to do something here with you and with Lacunifex."
The great vulture landed behind them, silent and watchful as ever.
"It may not be my place to say," she replied, "but if it means anything, I'm glad you stayed."
Their eyes met. Elkwood stepped forward and took her hand.
"Believe me, I feel like my eyes have been opened clearly for the first time in a while."
The world was still dangerous. His work was not done. But he had found a new front in the war against evil. A place he could stand. A place he could choose. Together, they ventured down the road. Above them, Vemir caught a rising wind and became a shrinking silhouette against the endless sky, guiding both of them toward Kintargo. Elkwood's new home. And I'll see you guys next time.
Bye, Elk.
That's oh good. My god. Bye, Elk. Honestly, the biggest tip away that Elf was leaving was Veneer didn't come with us. Like, what were we thinking?
Big ass bird just trying to get in here. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Not again.
Wait, what happened?
Oh, my dice melted again.
Wait, your dice melted?
Yeah.
Well, duh, that's because you didn't have Misty Mountain's gaming silicone dice. You know, silicone is a pretty heat-resistant material. Some varieties of silicone can withstand up to 500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, really? You're just saying if I bought Misty Mountain's silicone dice, then it wouldn't melt in my car anymore?
Exactly. And they have a great selection. Like, my favorite's their pink eraser silicone dice set. Kind of reminds me of my school days, those pink erasers. And if you use code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout, you could save 10% off.
Wow, I'm going to go to mistymountaingaming.com right now and get me some silicone dice. Huh, goodbye, melted dice. You're a thing of the past.
That's Dragon Punch Squad for 10% off checkout.